We truly do live in unique times today. As far as the advancement in the advantages of the standards of living that we enjoy today, if we were to compare with our grandparents a few years ago, there have been so many advancements made in the field of medicine and in the field of science. And we're talking this morning about something being missing in our lives. And in that, to be seeing how we need to avoid some of the lies that the world is telling us constantly today. But we do live in times that are very amazing in many ways. We have more, there have been more advances made in the field of medicine in our lifetime than at any other time in history. We have more knowledge of the universe that we live in than in all the history of the world put together prior to this time. Never has there been a generation that has enjoyed more things like this than we do. We have more education, more college graduates today. 100 years ago, for example, a college degree was something for the elite. But now it is available for everyone, it seems. And we have better paying jobs. If we compare our standards of living today to a few years ago and the way of life that we have, think about all the information that is available to us today. We have more information devices than we know what to do with. We have information overload. There are new words coming out all of the time just to describe the latest technology that we have. And we have the internet, we have cell phones, we have texting. Many of these things were unknown just a few years ago, as we all know. We have iPads, iPods, GPS, you know, on and on we can go. So we have more opportunity than any other generation that has lived before us. More wealth, more devices, more appliances in our homes than ever before. And we wonder, where are we going to be in a few more years? Can it be any better? Can it improve any? Well, of course, it's going to continue to improve, assuming that the world stays around and the Lord doesn't come back in the meantime. I'm sure that technology is going to continue to improve. They talk now about virtual keypads for your cell phone, where there will be some kind of a little infrared light that will come out, and there will be a holograph, and you will have your keypad to type upon, and all of those kind of things, and automobiles that will be self-driving automobiles, and we'll be able to sit in the back seat and watch TV and things like that while we're going down the freeway. So I don't know if that will ever happen, but there's going to be things amazing happening, I'm sure, in the coming years. But we today have more than anyone before us. More wealth, more higher standard of living. Our homes are larger, our homes are nicer than they were when our grandparents were living just a few years ago. More wealth per capita, more people inheriting wealth from their parents, which a few years ago, parents didn't leave their children anything really when they died, and now we see that more. So the wealth is growing among people. And when we think back to the way homes were in the 1950s and around that era, then we compare that with today, we can just see we have been so richly blessed. But we have been lied to in many ways. At the same time, the world has lied to us The world has said to us, you need to get all the stuff you can get, or you're going to miss out on life. And so we have had the opportunity to grab more stuff of this world, to accumulate more things. Yet there has never been a generation, I believe, that has been more unfulfilled than the one we are living in today, in spite of all of the things that we have today. There are more unhappy people. There is greater sense of discontent. There is a lack of fulfillment. And that extends all the way from kindergarten all the way through senior citizens, that there is more discontent, it seems, today. More husbands and wives fighting against each other, more parents and kids who can't seem to get along with each other, higher paying jobs, yet more disgruntled employees. So our generation, in spite of all the information, the good education, the good jobs, the nice homes, there is still this feeling that something is missing in our lives. And we have found ways to treat diseases, the cure for many deadly diseases that people used to die of. But there is an emptiness still inside that money cannot fill. And education will not satisfy. A longing for something that a new house or a new car isn't going to fix. The thing that is missing in people's lives, I'm convinced, is that our generation has not found the answers to the basic questions of life that we all wonder about, that we all ask about when we have the time to ponder those kinds of things. Where did I come from? You know, the question of origins. Why am I here? The question of purpose. And where am I going after this life is over? The question of destiny. Those are the basic questions that we all have about life. And our answer determines what is going to happen to us when this life is over. Our answer determines what we're going to do with our life, how we're going to treat people, how we understand what our reason is for being here on this planet. And so the answer to the question will determine what motivates you in your life. And it's only when we are able to answer these three questions satisfactorily that we will fill this void that is missing in so many people's lives today. We have to answer these questions. And unless we do, we cannot get rest and satisfaction in our hearts until we have some type of answers to these questions that we can be confident about. And so what do? We look for new toys to fill our lives, to occupy ourselves with, so that we don't really have to think about these questions as much. Oh, well, hey, I've got a new rifle. You know, I can't wait to go out and go hunting with my new rifle. Or I've got a new fishing boat, and it's so amazing. I'm so excited to go try out my new boat. Or I have a new car with all the bells and whistles, you know, and it is so nice. I love driving it. It's so fast. It's so smooth. And we have all of these things in life to occupy ourselves with. And so that way, it keeps us distracted from asking these three questions. But sometimes, when we wake up during the night, and when we're alone, and we get to thinking about life, we wonder about these questions, these same basic questions. He's coming back. Where am I from? Where did I come from? And why am I here? What is supposed to be the purpose of my life? And what's going to happen after this life is over? Those questions have to be answered. And where do we go for the answers? Well, sometimes we go to the evolutionist today. We go to the evolutionist and we ask the question, where did we come from? And the evolutionist says, well, you just came up from the slime. You know, you came from nothing and you go to nothing. So there is no God to worry about. You know, there it's just your life. And there's nothing more than what you see right now. This is it. But there's no purpose for your being. Well, that doesn't really satisfy me when I hear that question being asked. And the way that that's being answered, you mean to tell me that I have no purpose? There is no reason for my life here on this earth? So we go to the atheist or the agnostic, and we begin to ask them the question. And the atheist says, very confidently says, you come from nothing. There is no God. You go to nothing. There is no God to worry about. Relax. Enjoy this life. That's all there is. But if we go to the agnostic and we ask the question, he's not quite as strong in his statement. The atheist says there is no God, period. The agnostic says you really can't know. There's no way to know. You can't know the answers to life. We can't know if there's a God or not. Maybe there is a God, but we don't know anything about him, and we don't know where we came from. We don't know our purpose. We don't know anything about our destiny. So that is the answer that the atheist and the agnostic gives us. Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? So then we go to the philosopher. And the philosopher says, now that is really a good question. Let me think about that. It's going to take me some time to ponder that. And we want to explore that. And we want to look at it from different angles, and it really is a deep question, so I'll have to give that a lot of thought. Say, where did we come from? Why are we here? Where are we going? We don't find the answer there. So we go to pop culture. And when we go to pop culture says, well, give me about 15 minutes, and I'll have a new answer for you. You know, because pop culture changes about every 15 minutes. And there's a new trend, there's a new fad that comes on the scene, and the old one then fades out and is replaced by the new one. So popular culture is not the solution. We're not going to find the answers there that we're looking for. So we go to the Eastern religions, and we ask the question there, where did I come from? And why am I here and where am I going? And we find that, well, reincarnation is a very interesting theory. And it insists that when we leave this body, we are then going to inhabit another one. And then we will leave that body eventually and another one. And then maybe someday, perhaps we will find a better existence than this life, but reincarnation cannot offer any proof that this even happens. It's just a theory, it's only a doctrine, and it has no basis in reality. Reincarnation still cannot answer the basic questions of life that we wonder about. And then we go to the New Age movement and celebrities like Shirley MacLaine in her book Dancing in the Light says, well, you find the answers within yourself. Know that you are God. You are God. Know that you are the universe. So look within yourself, and that's where you will find the answers. You will find out that you are God because you are God. And we at first would dismiss that, like this is totally crazy. This is wacko. And yet there are so many people in our society today that are being drawn into this way of thinking. That we are God. We have all the answers within ourselves. And yet people are still empty. Something is missing in our lives. We don't have the answers. But the answers are there to be found. And that's what I want us to see this morning. The answers are there. They have been there all along. There is only one source where we can find those answers, and it is in the Bible, the Word of God. The Bible is the only book that provides us with the answers to life that we search for. We can go down to the Seattle Public Library, and there are hundreds of thousands of books that are available to us, but there is only one book that will answer the questions of life that we all wonder about. Where did I come from? The question of origins. And when we go to the Bible, we find the answer to the question of origins. We find that in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, where the Scripture tells us, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them." There is our answer to our origins. That explains where we came from. It's not a difficult question. Man came from God. God created man. In the image of God, He created man. Male and female, He created them. And then in Genesis 2 and verse 7, it goes on to say that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So there you are. You are special. You are special. You are made in the image of God. Out of all the things that exist here on this planet, man is the most special being on this planet. Nothing is more special than you are, than we are, because we are created in the image of God. And that means that we have a special dignity of the human race. And when we look to the Psalms that Jim read for us earlier this morning, we find that confirmed there when the psalmist David writes, "When I consider your heavens," he says, "the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you visit him, for you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor." God has crowned man with glory and honor. We are special. There's a glory and an honor that accrues to man, that nothing else in the creation has this. And that is the basis of our self-worth. That is the basis of our value. And by extension, it gives value to our fellow human beings and enables us to look upon one another in the proper way. We are all important. We are all of value in God's scheme. That means me. That means you. We are all eminently special in God's plan and purpose. Now, modern philosophies, on the other hand, when they answer this question, like atheism and agnosticism and humanism and evolution, they destroy this correct view of self. They say that a human being is nothing different than a slug or a skunk. That the only difference is that the DNA is arranged a little bit differently. That's the only difference between us and the insects and the snails and all the lower forms that are there. And so the worth of human beings is tragically devalued by modern philosophy. And the worth of ourselves and the worth of others. Why is it, do you suppose? Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever wondered, why is there so much child abuse today in our society? Why is it there are so many cases of the ultimate child abuse, abortion, which takes away the life of the infant before the baby is even born? Why is that? What do you think it has anything to do with the fact that human life is no longer special in our culture, that we have forgotten where we came from, that we came from God, we're created in the image of God, and we're crowned by God with glory and honor? Human life has been devalued in our society. It has been cheapened by our generation to where it's just a thing to be swept away, to be put out of the way, that if there's a pregnancy that is inconvenient to the mother, then we can just dispose of that pregnancy. So one of the reasons that people treat others so badly is that they fail to see themselves as made in the image of God. But there's another question that we have. The question about our purpose. Why are we here? Why am I here? I exist. We cannot deny our own existence. One year we went over to Bellevue a few years ago with Ron and Jenny Robbins for the Right to Life March. And we were standing on the street corner with a sign of a picture of a baby, precious in the eyes of God, something like that. And a person rolled down their window. They pulled over purposely, and they rolled the window down, and they said, "How do you know you didn't come from a pig?" And we're standing there, we're trying to exalt the human life and how valuable it is. And that's the answer that we get. How do you know that we didn't get a pig? Well, look in the mirror. You're not a pig, right? I mean, it doesn't take a brain scientist to be able to know that. That we are special. How do we know we're not just a thought in someone's mind, someone says? Well, pinch that person, and you'll find out that you're not just a thought. You are reality. So some of the things people come up with are just crazy. To get around dealing with the fact of why are we here? What is our purpose in life? We cannot deny our existence. So why are we here? Well, again, we go to the Bible, we find the answer. The Bible gives us the answer to the question of purpose. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. It says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all." So Solomon, after he made a lengthy search, he began with all the things that a man can have, all the things that a man can do in life, all the possessions he may be able to own. And he's trying to find out what is good for man here under the sun. And after that very thorough search and examination, his conclusion is, "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all." Our purpose then is very simple. We are here to serve God. We are created by God. We're created in His image. And we have a divine purpose. And it centers in our relationship with God. And it involves loving God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So it's the foremost reason that we are here, to love God. That's our purpose. That's why we're here. To love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Now, how many people in America today do you think do that? How many people today actually live by that concept? Not very many, I don't think. We've forgotten those things. To love God with all of your heart, and then by extension from that, that reaches out to other people to love your neighbor as yourself. Living then has value, it has purpose. There's a reason why we're here. And that is to honor and glorify and love and serve God and to love our fellow man. So whenever we wake up in the middle of the night and we have those questions, Where did I come from? Why am I here? There's one book that we can go to and we can find the answers to those questions and be confident that that satisfies. That is a question that we know why we are here. I'm here to serve God. And so even if my life, even if I don't have a new Corvette parked out in the driveway, I can go back to sleep at night knowing that I have a purpose and that my purpose in life is being fulfilled because I'm living my life to serve God and to love my neighbor as myself. Too many people today are missing their purpose in life. They don't know what their purpose is. They don't understand why are we here. You know, when you go to the hardware store and if you're looking for paint, they will usually ask you the question as you're checking out, say, now, did you get your brushes? And if you're looking to drive some nails, they say, do you have a hammer? You know, it takes the tool. You need the right tool for the right job. You may need a drill. You may need a hammer. You may need a paintbrush. You can't put paint on with a hammer. You've got to have the right purpose for it. And our purpose is clear. It's to love and serve God. And because of that, to love and regard our neighbor with dignity and with value. And when we miss our purpose, we miss out on everything that is good in life. If we don't find our purpose. And the modern philosophy, when it talks about our purpose, one of the most prevalent philosophies today is that of humanism. And to look at what humanism teaches, we can go to their own document, Humanist Manifesto 2. You can look that up on the internet and read what it says. But one of the lines from the Humanist Manifesto 2 is what it says. We can discover no divine purpose. No deity will save us. We must save ourselves. We must save ourselves. There is no deity. That's humanism. Well, we ask ourselves the question, save ourselves from what? If there is no divine purpose and there is no God, what are we going to save ourselves from? We see humanism, evolution, atheism, they're all alike. They view man as being free from God. And really, that's what man has always wanted. Man has always wanted to be free from God. Why? Because God is a restraining influence in people's lives. As long as you believe in God and you believe there is a God who made you and that someday you're going to have to give an account to this God whom you are supposed to serve and whom you are supposed to love, then that's always in the back of your mind. And when you go out and you want to go to the casino and gamble, or you want to go drinking, or you want to engage in sexual immorality or do drugs, it's always in the back of your mind, well, there's a God, and I'm going to have to answer to God. So that is a restraining influence in people's lives. And one of the reasons that you and I do not do some of the bad things that other people do is because we believe in God. And that restrains us from doing things that we would otherwise probably end up doing, things that are absolutely destructive in people's lives. But we think that somehow it's going to be good for us. Somehow we know that alcohol is bad. We know what it does to people's lives. But we think maybe it's not going to do that in my life. We know what drugs do to people. We see how easy it is for people to get hooked on them. And yet we think somehow it's going to be good for us to try them. And we know that immoral sex is bad, but it's something that I'm interested in. And if we could just get rid of God, then we would be able to do what we really want to do. And so that has been man's dream. Imagine a world with no religion, free from God.
Yeah.
What would that look like? What would that world be like without God? Well, we have a picture of that in the book of Romans, chapter 1. He says, "For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting." There we have it, a picture of a world without God, what it's going to be like. And he goes on in the next few verses to tell even more of what that way of life would end up looking like if people could truly get rid of God and not have to deal with it, not have that restraining influence anymore in people's lives. So thank God there have always been people in our world who did believe in God, and that has been a restraining influence upon our culture and our society. And thank God that there really is a God who loves us, who created us, who has a purpose for our lives, and we have a destiny someday after this world is over. And that brings us to the third question: what is our destiny? Where are we going after this life is over? There's only one book where we can find the answer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17. So then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. So we do have a destiny. We have a wonderful destiny awaiting us. Our destiny is that God has planned for us to live with Him forever and ever. That's where we're going. We are created in the image of God. We are here to love and serve God. And death is not the end. Even though we may see it as the end of this life, God assures us that indeed death is not the end. And in the book of 1 Peter, he gives us an even more positive view. He says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Have you ever received an inheritance from a relative that some loved one died and left you $50,000? That's nice, you think. But how long will you have it? You know, people receive an inheritance, and many times they go out and spend it within the first few months, and the money's all gone. They're going to go out and buy a fancy new car, or look for all the different ways that they can spend the money. But this inheritance that he is talking about is incorruptible, it's undefiled, it fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. So we have something far better than anything like that, an inheritance here on this world. But our modern philosophy, humanism, evolution, it says we have no destiny for man except rotting in the grave. That's it. So, is it any surprise that there is so much depression out in the world today? I mentioned earlier, we have more than any generation before. And yet there's more depression, more pills for depression, more people seeking psychiatric help than, and I realize some people need that medication. Don't take that wrong. Some people do need that medication. But we have philosophies today that deny our origin, deny our purpose, deny our destiny. And when you see people are depressed, why is there so much despondency, so much despair? And yet we have no assurance of a destiny beyond this life. Some of you may remember what happened in 1929 when the stock market crashed. It was called Black Tuesday. And on that day, there were a number of people in Wall Street, some of the bankers, some of the financial experts, who jumped out the window and committed suicide. Why? Because their God had died. They had no other hope in their life besides that. And we have millions of people in America today who are living just that same way. They're living for the next experience, the next material new gadget that's coming out. So what if there is no more hope of more money? What if that is suddenly taken away? What is going to happen then? Because their God will have died. Thank God that we have something better than that. We have a destiny to be with God, reserved in heaven, a living hope. So the answer to these three questions, where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? We find the answers to those all where they've always been. Nothing is missing. Once we fill in those blanks, it all makes sense. We're here because God created us. We're here to honor and love and serve God. And after we live this life, we have a home in heaven awaiting us. But let me ask you the question this morning. When you lie awake at night and ponder those questions, are you able to give those same answers in your life? That you know you came from God. You have a purpose on this earth, and you are fulfilling that purpose. And that you have a destiny, something far beyond this life that transcends this present existence, something much better, to be with God in heaven. If you look in your heart and you say this morning, that's not where I am right now, then you need to make some changes this morning in your life. And what better time to do it than right now? To make a change in your life, right here today, change the course and the direction of your life. Because as great as this destiny with God is, the Bible also tells us about an alternate destiny. It's one that God does not want us to have, but we read about that in the Bible also. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. Then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I asked Gabe these questions this morning before the lesson, before the service, and he gave the correct answer to all three questions. I said, where are we going after? He said, well, there's two places we can go. If it's not clear in your mind that you have answered these questions in the correct way, you have the opportunity this morning to do that, to change the course and the direction of your life. In an audience like this morning, there's almost certainly some here who need to commit your life to Christ, who haven't done that. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. So this is your chance this morning. This is your turn. You can make the choice right now. Why don't you come and obey the Lord this morning? And if you need to respond to the invitation, come right now while we stand and sing together.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound,
time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore,
and the glorious Father
yonder, I'll be there.